And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game, brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you. We are live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning, Game Nashville Studios. Home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership with a buzz is always about great service. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you? What's going on?
Doing good. Detroit, as some people like to say, Pistons are still alive.
So. South Detroit?
Yeah. South Detroit, great place. Great, great, iconic place, really.
It is.
They're still alive. And Chandler Bing is a Commodore.
I saw that.
By the way. Literally, you brought that up in a pre-show
before
meeting.
Before the show, I was like, wait a minute. Vanderbilt basketball's got a commitment from a dude named Chandler Bing, and it's real? It is. Chandler Bing. The newest commitment to Vanderbilt basketball.
So
it's incredible.
Okay, so he's obviously probably about 17, 18 years old right now, right?
Yeah.
So that means his parents named him Chandler. Her parents were named, you know, last name was Bing. I assume that's a real last name.
Yeah.
Okay. So his parents, so I think Friends probably ended in about 2002.
That sounds about right.
So, you know, a few years after that, about 5 years after that show ends, clearly this is not like, I mean, this is intentional.
I mean, they're watching reruns right? all the time on TBS, and they're like, you know what? We're going to name our son after Chandler Bing.
And, of course, like, someone of that generation is like, I mean, I'm sure he knows, right? Like there's no way people are going to be like, hey, did you know that there's a guy on Friends named Chandler Bing?
Yeah, I'm sure
he knows. Because, like, Friends, you know, Friends reruns around and stuff. But, like, is that – where's he from? He's from Atlanta. Okay.
How many times do you think he's going to be asked about it when he gets here?
Yeah.
Hey, have you ever seen Friends?
Well, and how many, you know, like when he's in the post, pivot, you know, if you know the show at all. If my last name was Bing and I had a son, he would be named Bada. He would not be named Chandler. If I was going to do Bing. Something mean to my son and have people, you know.
Look, I hope he's great.
I do, too.
I hope we have to talk about Chandler Bing on this program all the time.
I hope he's a weekly guest.
We welcome in Chandler Bing to the show. Chandler, how we doing?
I mean, when Katie hears that there's a Vanderbilt player named Chandler Bing, like, she's such a huge Friends fan. She's going to say, well, you have to get Vanderbilt season tickets.
I mean, in all seriousness, he's going to be a pretty popular jersey, right? Like, if you're out there buying jerseys, if you're a Vanderbilt fan, Chandler Bing's got to be near the top of the list.
That's a good point.
Moving forward.
There is some serious NIL potential.
Yeah,
here.
This could really be something for him.
I like this.
That is quite something. Congratulations to Vanderbilt basketball and Chandler Bing there. Ian Safar, how are we doing? What's going on?
Doing great. Thanks. Happy to be here.
Friends fan?
Not really, to be honest with you.
Seinfeld?
Yeah, I like Seinfeld. Okay. Friends, to me, is one of the more overrated shows.
Yeah.
There's some funny parts, but most of them are just...
First season I thought was pretty funny, and yeah, I'm with you. I think it's pretty overrated.
It's on all the time.
I say this at 6 a.m. You know, Katie doesn't listen anyway. Whatever. I can sit here and rip her
the whole show
if I want to.
Yeah.
Yeah, except the rant sometimes. When she,
good
yeah.
song. You know, the song
great
was
song.
A banger.
Yeah,
you know, from when it came out.
Yeah.
There's better theme songs. I thought it was a pretty good song, all things considered. It holds up.
It's a pretty good theme song. It's not Greatest American Hero good, but it's good.
Your thoughts on Chandler Bing on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com.
Phone lines are open.
615-737-1025, our phone number. A lot to get to on the program today. Some more coaching news on the NHL front that went down yesterday that we'll get into as to how that could potentially affect the Predators later in the program. We're going to get into a story in college football and college sports that is becoming more and more weird by the day. We'll get into that. And Paul Kuharsky will be with us in the second half of the show. We'll get into the Titans draft, all things Tennessee Titans with PK coming up later in the program. As well. Joe, speaking of the draft, you know, we spent the end of yesterday's show kind of getting into the conversation, and we got down the road of next year's draft class, and we approached it from the standpoint of, you know, some people are still upset. We had people calling in yesterday mad about the Titans not taking the Giants draft offer, right? And getting more picks and maybe addressing quarterback next year. And one of my points was Well, if the quarterback class is really good next year, and if you're the Titans and it goes how we think it could go, which is you finishing pretty high and maybe with another top five, top ten pick in the draft, could you leverage that next season into getting more picks to build this roster around Cam Ward and what that looks like? Well, Dane Brugler, who has been very hard at work over the last few weeks, is hard at work again and has already put out his early mock draft for 2026. And if it goes this way, Joe, there are going to be a lot of quarterbacks that are available at the top part of that draft that the Titans could potentially take advantage of.
Yeah, well, there's some really interesting names. We talked yesterday of the obvious name. I guess everybody's going to have him. But Dane even writes, scouts believe there's a good chance, as we've talked about so many times, that Manning returns to school in 2026. But he's got him one again. Not saying it couldn't happen. I'm saying let's just see. Let's see if it actually comes together for him. He's a very good prospect. I think, you know, we've had some arguments on the show. Obviously, we see the Shedeur Sanders thing, like the famous kid, and where that can go. I always rejected this, the whole like Marvin Harrison Jr., you know, is overinflated. Like he was a great player in college, and I think he'll at least be a very good receiver in the NFL. Arch Manning, this does feel a little bit name related to me, you know. I mean, it just, and I understand he was a big prospect and all that, but again, tell me why he hasn't been able to really see the field yet. So we'll see. But Lenora Sellers, as we've talked about, Drew Aller, we've talked about. Now the interesting ones are then you get into and Garrett Nussmeier, we've talked about him too. So I think those are the four that everybody talks about, right? The one that Dane has that I find we talked about one, Fernando Mendoza.
Yeah.
From Indiana, who is a transfer from Cal. You know, Kurt Cignetti got Curtis Rourke going last year. By the way, this Niners drafted him. He's probably just going to end up being like the next Brock Purdy, seventh-round pick, who's like awesome. I thought last year, like, I think Curtis Rourke can play in the NFL. But anyway, so we'll see with him. Now, I thought that he had Klubnik, but am I wrong about that? He doesn't have Klubnik in this. That's a different one.
I'm scrolling.
I'm getting my mock drafts mixed up, but some people have. I think CBS, if I'm not mistaken, had Klubnik top five. So there's another guy who, think about a year ago, season opener, Georgia,
yep.
And what happened in that game, the idea that Cade Klubnik would be considered. But the rest of the year, you saw progress. He's getting better. I'm still a
Dabo's
little.
Dabo's coaching him up?
Dabo, you know. Coaching him up. But I still have my questions about him as a first-round pick. But those are the quarterbacks. So is it a really good quarterback class? It would be one, if you did take the deal, you'd be looking for a quarterback next year. You might have, you know, you might have better options. Although I think Aller needs to take a step. I think Sellers needs to take a step. Manning needs to take two steps. You know, and Nussmeier too. Like all of them, you could see it. But also I could see it being like Carson Beck.
Yeah. Well, that's the thing, and that's exactly what I was going to bring up. This is a year out of what a potential draft could look like. We know that it's going to look much different by the time the draft class rolls around. Now, not totally different. Like if you did this same exercise the year before Caleb Williams and Drake May came out, you would have gotten Caleb Williams probably at number one and Drake May number two. Now, that didn't play out. It was Caleb Williams number one, Jaden Daniels number two, and Drake May number three. But it was roughly right around there. So, like, there are times where you can pretty much forecast what it's going to be the next year as it relates to the quarterback. And, frankly, sometimes I think we see teams plan for that when they get bad at some point. So, there is that. I think it's harder to do, number one, with Manning because you don't know what he's going to be, number one, at the college level as a full-time starter. And, number two, I still think that there's probably a better chance than not that regardless of what he is, he's coming back because that's what his family does. They all stay at school. So we'll see what happens on that front. Sellers, we talked about yesterday, is really interesting. I think he's got a chance to be really good. Drew Aller could have come out this year from Penn State and did not and chose to go back. So,
which was the right move,
The right move, and I think he's probably going to end up being really good. Same thing with Nussmeier. Nussmeier could have come out this year as well and did not. So we'll see what that ends up looking like. Bottom line is, like, what does it mean for the Titans? You know, first off, where do the Titans finish this year? You know, Brugler's got them at fourth, picking fourth overall. So some marginal improvement there from the Titans.
He does not think the Titans will be complete buns.
He doesn't think they're going to be the worst team.
They've upgraded to cheeks.
So how good can the Titans be? Where do they end up finishing? And when it comes down to it, you know, if you're still going with this patient approach and you get to the end of whatever that would be for the Titans next season and Amy Adams Strong hasn't fired everybody, which is still, I believe that when I see it, what do you do there? Do you take, it cuts down to the old conundrum there. If you're in the top five, obviously if you got a top five pick, Joe, there should be some pretty darn good players available to you. What's better, taking one of those players or trying to move back later in the draft and stockpile those picks that Brinker has talked about that they've not really done to this point?
Yeah. And then what I believe. So first of all, real quick, there's a few names in here that I expected to see. Like Caleb Downs from Ohio State. That's a guy I expected to see. Interesting, Jermaid McCoy as the 11th pick in this draft. Vols corner, interesting. Anthony Hill Jr., linebacker from Texas. Carnell Tate, wide receiver from Ohio State. Jeremiah Love from Notre Dame. But some other names to get used to. Keldrick Falk from Auburn. TJ Parker, edge from Clemson, is a name. You know, some of these names are going to be prominent, but some of them may not be, you know, what he thinks right now. I mean, that happens every year. I'm going to go back next segment, look at the 2025 way too early mock. But the Titans, I think that the catchphrase next year may be go to the doctor for Proctor.
We're going to get into that coming up next. I saw Rex Rhode wrote something down in our show plan last night where I was just like, good Lord, what is he doing? Where are we going
with this guy?
And then I got
measuring cheek size.
And we're going to get into that coming up next. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Robbie and Rex Rhode, 1025-1063, the game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Rhode, 1025-1063, the game. Ian Safar is on his game today. I mean, Ian Safar is always on his game.
Yes.
But well done.
Today, feeling some Vandy hoops today.
Chandler Bing, baby.
God, please be good.
I hope he leans into it. It'll be your walkout song. You don't really have those in basketball, but we can create one.
But yeah, I mean, you could jam that at Memorial Gym.
Yeah.
You know, like if he gets a 3-point play or something, gets fouled, you know, he
probably hates it.
I know. I hope he likes it, man.
Probably it's like, oh God, are you guys gonna bring this up?
But the thing is, like, first of all, he obviously has a middle name, right?
Yeah.
I mean, most people do. So if it's like Chandler Jonathan Bing, just go Johnny Bing.
Yeah,
you know, or whatever your middle name. Like, or there's really no shortening of Chandler though, is there? Chan Bing. Yeah, it doesn't work. So that's a tough one. But like, if you get to this point where you are an adult, you know, you're a recruit, you're a public figure now. You're obviously a very good basketball player. You go to picking Vanderbilt. I feel like you would have changed it. But maybe he just doesn't understand. He hasn't really caught the full annoyance of this thing until
he's about
now.
To. Yeah, he comes around us.
He's going to be like Ron Artest. Meta World 1. Can I change my name to that? Meta World 2, please.
Oh, man. I can't wait till Chandler Bing starts playing basketball for Vanderbilt.
We are already big fans.
I will reverse my no college basketball until March discussion policy.
Dang right.
On this program.
Yeah, Jared from Spring Hill. I already made the Bada Bing joke, Jared from Spring Hill. You're late, man. You're late to the show.
So Cody on the text line saying, if you don't want your quarterback to see a doctor, draft Caden Proctor.
That's better than
in
mine.
2026.
That's better than nine.
Is that your prediction of where things are going to end up here with the Titans?
Keep QB from doctor with Proctor. Yeah, actually it is. I think that the Tennessee Titans, after a season of seeing why Dan Moore Jr. has not been an effective left tackle, will be high in the draft and they'll draft a left tackle.
He's still got a long time left on his contract after that, don't they?
Yeah, but
I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying, good Lord,
it's just my prediction.
There's one thing that I've noticed about Rex Rhode since this Dan Moore signing. He does not have very high expectations for Dan Moore at left tackle next year.
I do have some friends that were Steelers fans, so I may be influenced by them. But you know how it is. Sometimes fans get a little bit exaggerated on the offensive lineman they hate, right? Now, granted, Titans fans cannot exaggerate what has been happening at left tackle here. So I think it will get. I think it will be better. But I think that if Proctor is, and for people who don't know, Proctor, you know, huge recruit. I mean, he is only his third year of college. He actually was from Iowa, went to Bama. He transferred back to Iowa real quick, then came back last year. If he becomes this year what people think he could be, and by the way, you know, he had some rough patches last year. Then I think he's a possible number one pick candidate. Now Brugler has him eighth. But yeah. I also like the Proctor. And of course then you get into like we're really big on names, but like the type of doctor with when you think of Proctor, you know, which is probably like watching the Titans in the last few years. But no, I think that he's a real possibility, someone to watch this year. Other offensive tackles Brugler has. In fact, he's not the top offensive tackle he has. He has Spencer Fano from Utah, number three to the Giants. He's also got on here Austin Barber from Florida in the top 10. Let's see who else in the offensive. And again, the Titans may have more pressing needs. Maybe more works out great. Certainly a guy like Caleb Downs could be good enough to go that high in the draft. Cage Casey, great name from Boise State, another OT he has in the first round. Francis Mauigoa from the U. And Jude Bowery from Boston College. A lot of offensive tackles. Looks like an offensive tackle-rich draft at this point. So that would be my guess. You know, the receiver.
Receiver.
It might be another light year at receiver, which is kind of disappointing.
We'll see how it goes. Like, again, things change very dramatically a year out when it comes to the draft here. But, like, that was the one thing I was looking at. Because in a perfect world, right, like, the offensive line plays pretty well this year for the Titans. And you get into next year and you say, you know what? We feel good about Dan Moore at left tackle for one more year. And we feel good about J.C. Latham moving to the right. And maybe you don't have to address offensive tackle high in next year's draft. And you can finally go get that game-breaking receiver that I've been screaming for them to get for the last 3 years. And I'm looking at Brugler's early mock for 2026. He's got Carnell Tate going 13th. And then he's got one more receiver in the first round, which is Evan Stewart from Oregon at 31. Those are the two.
And again, if they were eligible, Jeremiah Smith and Ryan Williams, like, might go 1-2.
Yeah.
They might go 1-2. So we do know at least that the 2027 draft is going to be amazing at receiver.
They have a lot of good receivers.
But it's like, please, NFL, can you just let them come into the league yet? I mean, my gosh. It's unfair that those guys are going to be in college football this year.
Do you know Ryan Williams was 17 years old last year when he played?
Really? I never heard that. Yeah. Why didn't anyone ever mention that on a broadcast?
I don't know.
So weird.
What are they going to do when he's 18 this year? It's like, wow, this guy's 18 years old. How about that?
And last year he was 17.
Last year he was 17. Crazy.
Also, edge is an obvious, just like this year, going in the draft. So, I mean, they're light on the edge. Brugler actually has T.J. Parker from Clemson going number four to the Titans. Who else on the edge front? You've got Matayo Uyangalale. I don't know if there's any relation, from Oregon. 10 to Vrabes. So he doesn't think Vrabes going to be very good this year. You got Reuben Bain Jr. from Miami. Tyreek Sapp from Florida. So you've got some edges out there. Let's quickly go back to last year. A year ago, his way too early mock. Some interesting things. Mykel Williams, 1. Carson Beck, 2. To the Titans. You remember this?
Oh, yeah.
We were like, dude, they've got Will Levis. Yeah. What are we talking about here? He has Mason Graham, 3. That's pretty good. He has Will Campbell, 4. Pretty good. Will Johnson, 5. You know, he fell, but I mean, Kelvin Banks. Abdul Carter, 7. Travis Hunter, 9. But still, you know, Pierce, 10. Tet McMillan, 11. Malachi Starks, 12. Like, it's a couple shockers. Quinn Ewers, number 14, overall to Texas.
That didn't work.
I mean, to the Steelers from Texas. Yeah. Luther Burden, 17. He's got Colson Loveland as going, and he does not have Tyler Warren, which is interesting. Nick Skirton and Shamar Turner. Shadur, 22, to the Jets was his pick. He's got Nolan in there, JTT. So it's actually, I mean, there's some guys that didn't make it, but it's actually pretty good.
Yeah.
Like, if this is the hit rate for this one that we're looking at here, because I usually expect these to be, like, you know, like way off. But You know, Anto Saka, another edge from Northwestern, by the way, that the Titans could be interested in.
Yeah, it's going to be – it'll be very interesting to see what this ends up playing out like. I mean, look, best-case scenario for the Titans this year, realistically, based on their roster. I mean, I guess we could get crazy here and say, well, the best-case scenario is Cam Ward's unbelievable and they do what Jay Daniels did last year.
Again, no, that's true.
How realistic is that? I don't think very, based on where their roster is right now. So, in all likelihood, you are looking at another high draft pick last year. Maybe not number one overall, but another high draft pick next year. And the general question is, if let's say Cam Ward hits and is good, how long should it take the Titans, based on where their roster is right now, to get back to being in a spot where they can compete for the division and compete for playoff spots and compete to do damage in the AFC once you get there? I mean, that's really the fundamental question. If Cam Ward is close to what they hope he is, how long, what's the timeline we're looking at here for the Titans getting back to being a team that you're happy to watch on Sunday afternoons?
Yeah, well, if he can be as good as, in his first 2 years, as a pretty good quarterback they've had in the past named Marcus Mariota,
yes,
then they could be right back in the mix to the playoffs in year two. So there you go. That's the bar.
There's the formula to follow. Just follow Marcus. 615-737-1025, our phone number. More your thoughts to get to on our text line, which we will do coming up next. Plus, some news yesterday on the NHL front that is going to make things interesting around here. I got a list to throw your way, the Robbie Stanley list that I've just concocted yesterday. We'll get into that. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Tune in to 94.9 The Fan tonight as the Nashville Sounds take on Gwinnett. Pre-game beginning at 5:50. First pitch at 6:05. Coverage also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Sounds baseball on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get-it-all. Let's get to your text line, driven by Wilson County, Hyundai.com. Mark in Ashland City texting in. And says, in a perfect world, Alec Iomanner, which we have consulted a pronunciation guide, I believe is what that is.
That's a scoop.
Iomanner shows his potential, becomes a game-changing receiver. Dan Moore suits up at left tackle. He shores that up. And they can draft a dominant edge rusher high in the first round next year.
Yep, those would be good things. Even if Iomanner, which is – this is the Stanford pronunciation guide?
This is the – okay, so I've seen it is now. I've got the Stanford pronunciation guide and Notre Dame together, so it's doubly sourced. Iomanner.
Iomanner.
Yep.
Not Iomanor.
Correct.
Okay. Iomanner. All right. We'll see how Kaharski says it later. I like the pick a lot. I think you'd be good. I think you still. I mean, I could look, if they hit on both fourth rounders, that'd be freaking good.
It would be awesome.
You know, yeah. But I still have a feeling they're going to be in the market for a receiver in a year from now, or an off season from now.
I would agree. And frankly, like, even if he hits, you've still got, you know, I mean, Lockett, how long is Lockett going to be here?
Yeah, and I mean,
probably a year.
And is Ridley going to be really good through, is he going to be here through his contract to be really good through?
Right. Like, they're going to need, I think, probably multiple more receivers, even if the two they just took hit. Yeah, you're probably going to need a couple more after that, just based on the league, where the league is right now and where they're at in that room. Like, they're just going to need more guys. They're more dynamic players at that position. So I'm with you. Like, it would be great if the two fourth rounders you took this year, I mean, you walk away from this season not only, you know, most importantly feeling good about Cam Ward, but feeling good about those two as well. That would be great. I still think, regardless of how well they play, you're going to need to add to that room next offseason.
Yeah. Now, they did – they signed Restrepo. Very
– They did.
Polarizing choice there. I've seen the range of, you know, obviously Stilly screaming how awful it is, all the way to Gentry Esses in Tennessee and saying this is an example of how this is a new smart front office. So, like, that's quite a range.
That is a range.
Of interpretations of Xavier Restrepo as a Titan. But I personally think it's worth a shot.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes. I mean, number one, we'll see if he makes the team. That's going to be step one, right? Can he make the team? And if he does, is there any sort of production that follows that? But, yeah, like, when he doesn't get drafted and he's there for you and he was as productive as he was in college, I think it's certainly worth the risk there. I mean, there's very little risk for the Titans.
Interesting point Trevor Maddich made, which was, you know, you hope that, like, Cam Ward doesn't overdo, like, trying to get him the ball to help him make the team. I hadn't thought about that. That's an interesting thought, but man, I feel like as a rookie QB trying to get ready to start, like,
you got enough of your own things to figure out. Like, worried about,
if you're worried about that,
Xavier Restrepo. Yeah,
that's being a little too selfless.
So we'll get into all that with Kuharski a little bit later in the program. Interested to get his thoughts on what the Titans have done in the NFL draft and where things could be heading here with Cam Ward leading the fold. So we'll get into that with Kuharski a little bit later. Joe, some news on the NHL front yesterday. Rick Tocchet will not be back as head coach of the Vancouver Canucks. Vancouver tried. They says that they basically, the reporting is, there was an offer that was made to Rick Tocchet that would have made him a very highly paid coach. And the bottom line was, he just didn't really want to be there. He wants to go back closer to his family, which is, quote, in the eastern part of the United States. So you can take that for whatever it means. But Rick Tocchet is not going to be back in Vancouver. So Mike Sullivan is out in Pittsburgh. Tocchet is out in Vancouver, which, by the way, means you can add another opening. So there are now 8 openings in the NHL. The Predators are not one yet. They're not an opening. And there's still no word from Barry Trotz as to what exactly is going on with Andrew Brunette. So in the meantime, if they are considering moving on from Andrew Brunette, you're thinking about what could some potential replacements be. I have a list. I have top three. Top three Robbie Stanley coaches hot board. Are you ready for it?
I'm ready.
I got some bad news for Predators fans after I get done with this hot board too. Number one, Mike Sullivan. Sullivan is the number one guy on my board. I think that you're talking about a 2-time Stanley Cup winner and a guy that's going to have a lot of interest out there. And frankly, by the reporting, already has a lot of interest out there. So if you are considering a change, if you're the Predators, maybe you're behind the eight ball a little bit when it comes to Mike Sullivan on that front. But he would be my number one dream. If you're moving on for Brunette, he would be my number one guy on the board. Tocchet is number two. I think that Tocchet's really good. It is amazing to think about a year ago, like basically right now, those two were locked up in a series of Brunette and Tocchet, and they were both Jack Adams Award finalists. And then in a year since then, neither one of them made the playoffs. And Andrew Brunette's job status is in question, and Rick Tocchet has now voluntarily left the Vancouver Canucks. So things change very quickly in this league.
They do. And by the way, on Tocchet, you know, that was his only series win as a head coach.
Yes.
So I think he's good too. His track record is not thrilling.
No. Now, he did beat the Predators in a series that wasn't really a playoff series, but kind of was, when he was head coach of Arizona a few years ago in the bubble. But
that's true. That's a good point. But yeah, I guess we count that.
It wasn't really I guess it was a series, but not really. My number three guy on the list, and this is probably a polarizing one from some Predators fans and some NHL fans out there, but I think it's worth a shot. Gerard Gallant. Gerard Gallant is a guy that, after doing some research, I feel like Jonathan Marsh still got along with pretty well. Really likes Gerard Gallant. And look, I think he's a good coach. Now, I also think Gallant is a guy that clearly wears out his welcome pretty quickly. Like, he's good, and he gives you results. He's kind of similar to Laviolette.
I was going
to
say,
in that way,
it's a hockey coach thing,
yeah,
too,
like,
right?
He comes in, he does a good job, and I think pretty quickly he kind of wears on people. Now, how much is that what you want if you're Barry Trotz? I don't know. That's what his track record kind of is. But I do think he's a good coach. And all three of those guys are veteran coaches that I think have a displayed track record of being good coaches in this league, which frankly is what I think this roster needs right now. Now, to the bad news. Mike Sullivan. I don't think the Predators are landing him. Like, there's a lot of noise on the Rangers and him. He's from Boston, and his family lives in Boston, so there's an obvious connection there. And it doesn't feel like the Predators are going to be in the mix for him. And again, the Predators don't have an opening, and all these other teams do, and I don't know how long he's going to be willing to wait, right? Like, I would imagine that teams already have those vacancies are making their pitch to Sullivan right now. Tocchet, I think is, if I had to guess right now, it's probably going to end up in Philadelphia. That seems to be what the thought is, and there's even some coaches around the league that have talked to, you know, the Friedmans of the world and the Saravallis and the Hockey Insiders, that they would be very surprised if he does not end up in Philadelphia. So if Sullivan is with the Rangers and Tocchet ends up in Philadelphia, there's still Anaheim that's open, there's Pittsburgh that's open, Vancouver's now open, a lot of jobs open out there. So if you're the Predators and you do decide to get involved in this and you move on from Andrew Burnett, like, how far deep down the list does your coaching pool go in terms of what you're looking for, and how much does that factor into your decision if you're Barry Trotz?
That's a great question. It just doesn't feel like either of those top two on your list are realistic. And if not, I think it does. Like, Gallant is, you know, personally, I'd be thrilled because I could relive, you know, Gerard Gallant playing with Steve Yzerman and Bob Probert.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a top line with two guys who fought so much. It's like the top line, and two of your two wingers absolutely get in fights like every other day. It was pretty amazing. He was a hell of a player. Boy, he looks a lot older than he did then. But that would be thrilling for me. I think he'd be good, and I think that's an interesting piece of research by you. You know, he got along with Marchessault. Got to get along with Marchessault. Apparently, that's not easy to do.
How important is that if you're Barry Trotz? I mean, you know, Gallant is also kind of the guy that gave Marchessault a shot in Florida, and they ended up with him again in Vegas. So there's a track record there of those two being together and working well together. Now, again, I don't think you can base your entire coaching decision on what Jonathan Marchessault likes, right?
probably not.
I don't think that's probably a good way to operate.
If so, he better get 50 goals next year.
Exactly. Like, there's, you know, if it's Connor McDavid you're basing your coaching search on, sure, that's fine. I think Marchessault is probably not the same level of what I'd be bouncing stuff off of there.
Who does Stamkos like? Well, do they both like anyone?
That's a good question. Good question. I mean, there are a lot of intriguing names out there. There are some assistant coaches that I think could be intriguing. But I've talked about this. Like, I kind of feel like where they are right now, I think they need an established NHL coach who's done it before. I'll tell you another one that's interesting that hasn't been a head coach in a few years that would be interesting, and that's Claude Julien, who used to be – he's a longtime coach of the Bruins. I think he's an assistant now with St. Louis – with Jim Montgomery, and he's 65. So, you know, he's not a spring chicken anymore.
Gallant's 60-something.
61, I think. So, I mean, sometimes you run into – I mean, Laviolette, I think, is in his 60s. So, you've got all that going on. But, like, he's a guy that has demonstrated success as a head coach in the league. I mean, his last stop, Julien, was in Montreal, and it didn't go overly well there. But a lot of success as a head coach in Boston – you know, it's just another guy that's probably not on a ton of people's radar right now in terms of discussion that is a veteran head coach with demonstrated success around the league. So there are options out there beyond the Sullivans and the Tocchets and the Gallants of the world. I mean, you know, I don't think he's an option here, but Laviolette, is he going to end up anywhere else? Like, because if he ends up somewhere else, that's one more job off the list that, you know, you could go get somebody else with.
Yeah. Yeah, you want him to get a job. It's in. So then – you have these possibilities, and I definitely – we've talked about, you know, if you're going to do this, you should have an idea. I think that happens a lot more than people realize sometimes. But also, like, if you're so far down the road of, you know, of whatever convinced you that you should move on at all, do you do it no matter what?
Right. Well, and then there comes to the timing of all this, which is also interesting, which I think I have – questions about as it relates to Barry Trotz, which we'll get into coming up next. How does his approach to all this, is it helping the Predators on a coaching search? Does it hurt the Predators with a coaching search? We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, the game. The 615 Open Charity Golf Tournament benefiting Folds of Honor, presented by Gary Force Acura at Hermitage Golf Course, is on Thursday, May 29th. That's coming up less than a month. Less than a month, we're getting there. Sign up to play or sponsor at 615open.com. Always a fun event. Looking forward to seeing you out there this year. Taking your thoughts on the Predators, the NHL head coaching vacancies that we know of at the moment, that are out there, by the way, of which the Predators are not one. There's still been nothing on the future of Andrew Burnett. We have not yet heard from Predators general manager Barry Trotz, who was originally supposed to speak last week and has not. And no word so far this week on when or if he may be speaking coming up. So
Barry.
Don't know what's going on.
Play.
Don't know what's going on there. So let's start on that front. This is now, you know, somebody brought up the John Hines situation with us yesterday where they had an end-of-season press conference with John Hines sitting there, and a lot of the press conference was about his job and whether or not he was going to be there. And then, like, a several-week process went by, and then they ended up with Andrew Burnett. Like, I think – when was Andrew Burnett hired? I think it was, like, May the 30th. Like, it was pretty late in the process there. So – we've seen Trotz do this before where he has taken his time in determining, number one, is he going to fire the coach? And then number two, once he makes that decision of getting his coach in and making a hire. I don't know what he's doing with Andrew Burnett. They may decide here and today to have a release that Andrew Burnett is back and he's the head coach next year. We'll see what ends up happening.
Would that be a release?
On that front. Maybe not. I don't know. I mean, he's got to talk at some point.
So yeah, it was May 30th.
It was May 30th. Yeah. So that's a long time. Like, that's a pretty long time into the process. So my question to you, Joe, is, like, all these other teams have made their decision. They've fired their coaches, and there's eight vacancies that are now open. Some of those coaches were fired before the season ended, and some have been fired in the aftermath of it. Do you think that Barry Trotz seemingly taking his time here with this decision will hurt the Predators if, in fact, they do decide at the end of this to move on from Andrew Burnett, just in terms of the timing of it?
Well, it's got to go. Yeah, you got to go. You got to figure it out right now. Just if you're gonna move, like, do it today. You know, what is today? Wednesday? It's Wednesday.
Today's Wednesday, April 30th.
April 30th.
Tomorrow's May.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Do it today. Do it before May, and get in there. And figure it out. And if you're, I would say there's also urgency the other way, because, like, let the guy know that he's what his deal is. You know, at this point, I think it's like, let the dude know, is he coming back or not? I think it's about time here to figure this out. And again, if they're gonna miss out on these top prizes, which seems already likely, then you get into the rest of the coaching pool, and, you know, do you get excited about anybody? And also, do coaches out there who other coaches that Trotz may be interested in, they interested in him? Are they interested in the Preds? Are they interested in taking on this older roster that obviously had a rough season, and this goalie who had a rough season? And, you know, Trotz, you know, working with Trotz, I'm sure that every single person in the coaching profession has high respect for Barry Trotz. And especially as a coach, as a person, but as a GM, it's early and it hasn't been great overall here.
Well, we got Matt on the text line that says, you guys are kind of saying the quiet part out loud, that Nashville doesn't seem to be in contention with serious hockey markets, and that's sad after 25 years. I don't think it's that at all. Like, I think you're looking at where the team is. Like, I don't think it's like an organizational failure in terms of, like, well, they either won't spend to go get a coach, or the market's not attractive. I don't think it's any of that. Matter of fact, I think their market is very attractive, and I think there's a lot of things here that coaches love. I mean, I can tell you, I talked to a lot of coaches around the league. They love Nashville. Like, I can tell you. And so I don't think it's that. I think it has more to do with where their roster is right now and where things are going. Like, at the moment, they've got an older roster that is coming off an incredibly bad year. Their prospect pool is good. It's not great. Now, maybe that changes, and maybe the ping pong ball falls their way here in about a week, and you find out they're getting the number one overall pick. We'll see what happens on that front, and maybe that changes how the job is viewed. I don't know. But, you know, like, if you're looking right now, like Anaheim right now, Anaheim's got a pretty good young core that you can go try to build with and win with. Boston, New York are original six jobs, and New York is 1 year removed from winning a President's Trophy. Like, there's a lot of openings, and Pittsburgh's got Crosby. I know Crosby's older, but Pittsburgh's got Sidney Crosby, and they've got an organization that is committed to winning. So, like, there's just a lot of jobs that are open right now. I don't think it's some organizational – you know, misstep by the Predators here that they're just not on the same level as some of these other markets. I just think it's where their roster is right now.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes, you know, I think that sometimes there is like the original six lure, and there's obviously these, you know, generational fan bases, things like that.
Yeah.
But I'm with you. I think this is a very attractive.
But I mean, like, where
the external factors of this job are very attractive.
Yeah, I mean, I bet if you polled players and coaches right now, where are the top two places that they want to play and or coach, if they're being honest, you know what the two answers would probably be? Florida and Tampa. That's probably what the answers would be. Neither one of those original six. Both of them have great weather, which we have good weather. We don't necessarily have Florida and Tampa weather. But what I'm saying is, like, I don't think just because the Predators aren't an original six team, I don't think the coaches around the league look at that and go, I can't do that. And I think to a man, that would probably be what the result would be, Florida and Tampa.
For the record, some people hate Florida weather. Now, we don't, but I'm just saying. Especially, like, some Canadians think that's, like,
a lot of Canadians
going to the third circle of Hades.
Well, I can tell you, for the Canadian coaches I talk to, a lot of coaches say, thank God it's not Canadian weather. Let's get down there.
And I can relate to that. Those bones get brittle in the cold, man.
Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Tim to the program. Tim, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Do y'all think that Barry is, before he makes a decision on Burnett, is trying to go ahead and have a coach lined up and hired before? I think he did when he got Burnett. I think that's when he fired John Hines, he turned around and it made that announcement a day or two later. I think that deal was worked out before he got rid of Hines.
That's a good point. Thank you, Tim, for the call. I mean, yeah, I mean, I think it happens in the league for sure. Like, we talked about yesterday, right, using the
– with Hines.
With Hines, right? Like, LaViolette was fired on, like, a Monday night, and Tuesday morning, Hines was in the building coaching
the
team
that day,
right? It's like, oh, okay. Do we think that that all just came together, or do we think that maybe there were some conversations that took place before that?
Hey, what are you doing here, man?
Like, it's not like Barry Trotz just can't speak with anyone before Brunette is fired. That happens all the time in the NHL.
Yeah, but then it gets into who?
Well, and it
who's
also,
worth it?
Well, and I think the real question is, like, has Barry Trotz made his decision yet? And that's what he's doing, is like talking to other coaches and seeing what he can land before he makes, like, goes ahead and fires Brunette. Or is he still considering, like, what he's going
to
do?
You've had more than enough time to consider, and if you're doing the first thing, you say that's ridiculous. Well, let the guy go. I mean, like it's. It's about time here. You know, now that I think about it, it's like, really, dude? It's Wednesday. Let's go. Matt says, I was only talking about hockey decisions the team has made, not the destination.
Okay. Well, I mean, the hockey decisions aren't going great right now. There's no doubt about that. The roster is in a bad spot at the moment.
Especially if he goes another day and says, yeah, I'm just not sure, guys.
Let's head back to our
We'll have a presser at some point, one of these weeks.
Head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Adam in Portland. Adam, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
I mean, I haven't heard you guys say it, but I also jumped in a little late. It seems like if it's a roster issue, then start piecing off the roster. But if it's a coaching issue where you're like, I believe in the roster, well, sack up and do what Belichick did and coach the team yourself. Like, if you feel like your roster is good enough, do both. Like, you're already at the games. I don't know, dude. Seems like a logical, easy answer, and probably you'll think it's stupid, but I'm sitting here like, dude, coach the team. You built the roster. You obviously know how to coach. You're a Stanley Cup winning coach.
So you want to do both jobs, GM and coach?
Suck up, man. Do it. Hell yeah. Do both.
Can you play a little third pairing defenseman too? Let's do player, coach, GM.
Do it. Why not, man? I believe in him.
Thank you, Adam. Appreciate it. I don't think that is doable in today's NHL.
Yeah, that's not happening. But I will say that are you sure you don't want to just come back down to the bench? Throw it out there.
Trotz come down to the bench and go hire a new GM? That's what you'd have to do at that point.
I mean, that of all, you know, it's better than Adam's idea, okay?
615.
Got that going for me.
737-1025, our phone number. We got a couple more thoughts to get to on the Predators front. We'll do that coming next. Plus, we'll get into a story in college football that just continues to be weirder and weirder and kind of strange to even bring up, but we'll do it. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.